Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John? John chapter 2. We'll read from verse 13 through verse 22. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple the sellers of oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers sitting. And having made a scourge of cords, he cast them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the change of the money changers, and overturned the tables, and said to the sellers of doves, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." Verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it is written, "The zeal of thy house devours me." The zeal of thy house devours me. The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "What sign showest thou to us that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple building, and thou wilt raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from among the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has spoken. And will you please turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin with verse 12. Through verse 17. And Jesus entered into the temple of God and cast out all that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold the doves. He says to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but ye have made it a den of robbers." And blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders which he wrought, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Hearest thou what he say?" And Jesus said to them, "Yea, have ye never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany, and there he passed the night. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do know that we have much to thank thee for. But over above all, we want to thank thee for thyself. Thou who art the only begotten Son of God, the beloved of the Father, and yet in obedience to thy Father, thou willingly came into this world to be the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Lord, what thou art and what thou hast done are way beyond our understanding. We worship thee. As we continue in thy presence, we look to thy Holy Spirit to breathe upon thy written word. Make it living and working in each of our lives. Oh, dear Lord, open our understanding, open our heart towards thy word, towards thyself. We ask in thy precious name. According to the record of the four Gospels, we find that our Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem 2 times. Once, as recorded in John chapter 2, he did it at the beginning of his public ministry. He went to Jerusalem, he entered into the temple, and he cleansed the temple. Then again we find in Matthew chapter 21, you can also find it in Luke 19, that towards the end of his public ministry, once again, he entered into the temple and he did the cleansing. Brothers and sisters, to me, I feel these two acts show us the real spirit of the ministry of our Lord Jesus. You know, this began not only after he took up the public ministry. You remember even when he was 12 years old. That was the year at that time that the Jewish family will make their son, who reached the year of 12, to be a son of the law. And it was during that time that our Lord Jesus, when he was 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem, to the temple. And there he was made a son of the law. In other words, there he became responsible for his own relationship with God. He was made a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. He had the right to ask questions and the right to answer questions. Now, usually, after a boy was made a son of the Lord in Jerusalem, he would go back with his family. But something happened. Instead of going home with his parents, he remained in Jerusalem in the temple. His parents tried to find him. And on the third day, they found him in the temple. There he was listening to the rabbi. And he was asking questions. And not only that, he even answered some of the questions. Now his mother, earthly mother, was grieved. She said, "Son, why did you do that to us?" And you remember the answer of our Lord Jesus? He said, "Why? Why are you worried? Why do you want to find me? Don't you know that I must be occupied with my Father's business?" To be a son of the law is not only just be responsible morally before God for himself, but to be a son of the law in actuality, in reality, is to be occupied with the Heavenly Father's business. And this was what our Lord Jesus did when he was 12 years old. Because he was still a minor, he went home, submitting himself to his parents. And as he grew up, we all remember that there was 30 years he was hidden in the hills of Nazareth. Now, during those hidden years of our Lord Jesus, outwardly we find that he became a carpenter. Now, most likely, Joseph died early, and he had to take care of the family. But when he was 30 years old, he stepped out to begin to do his father's business. He went to Jerusalem. He went to the temple. Why? Because the temple was supposed to be the house of God. The temple was supposed to be a place of worship. The temple was a representation of God being with man. But when he went into the temple, what did he see? Now, brothers and sisters, if you remember, that way back, after God delivered his children of Israel out of Egypt, he brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. And there he gave them the law to make them his covenant people. And after he gave them the law, he asked them to do one thing. And that was recorded in Exodus chapter 25. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. In other words, God's heart from very creation of man is to dwell with man. He wants to make man his dwelling place, his resting place, a place where he and man can live together in unity, in harmony, in joy, in peace. So he asked his delivered people to make him a sanctuary. And you remember they made the tabernacle. The tabernacle was with them throughout the wilderness journey of 40 years. After the entry into the promised land, it was David who had the heart to build God a permanent temple. And it was his son Solomon who built the temple. You remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? He who was the wisest of men, he knew that God does not really dwell in any physical building, because God filled the universe. So he said, what is this that I built? It is only a place where you may put your name there. It is a place when people can come and pray. It is a house of prayer for all nations. It is a representation, a symbol of the presence of God among his people. That's all it is. But unfortunately, the children of Israel were unfaithful to God. They worshiped idols. They sinned against God again and again and again, until finally God allowed them to be taken captive into Babylonia. But in God's grace, God brought them back after 70 years of Babylonian captivity. But unfortunately, only a remnant returned. The rest of God's people found their home, their rest, their business, their prosperity in the land of captivity. They lived for themselves, but only a remnant among them, whose spirits were stirred by God. They were willing to leave everything, brave the dangers of the journey, went back to Jerusalem that was a ruin, and there for one purpose only, to rebuild the temple. And this was the temple that our Lord Jesus visited while he was in earth. But outwardly it was very different, because when the remnant returned, they were only a few people. They were very limited in their resources. So the temple they built was a rather small one. But King Herod, at that time, was the king over the Jews. He was not an Israelite. He was an Idumean. And yet he was on the throne. And he was a great builder. So he, in a sense, extend and enlarge that temple built by the remnant to make it a glorious, gorgeous, wonderful building, adorned with precious stones, adorned with all the offerings of the world. So the Jewish people at that time took great pride over their temple. You remember, when the remnant returned from Babylonian captivity and started to build the temple, the Samaritans, they came and said, "We want to help you and build with you, because we also worship God." And yet, you know, they were such a mixture. So in those days, Zerubbabel and Joshua and the leaders of the returned remnant say, "No, we will build the house of God by ourselves. In spite of our limited resources, we will build it ourselves." But you know, during the time of our Lord Jesus, the Jewish people allowed King Herod to enlarge the temple and make it such a gorgeous, glorious temple, a pride of the nation. You know the spiritual condition of the people. But during that time, something more happened in the temple area. The temple was a place of silence, a place of serenity, a place of worship. There should be a sense of the presence of God. But instead, you find that in the temple area, they were sellers of oxen, goats, sheep, doves, and they were many, many changes there. So you find that it became a very noisy place, like a bazaar. It had lost all the sensitivity of the people. They were attending a bazaar instead of attending a place of worship. Now why? How did it happen? It is because, you remember, God commanded his people 3 times a year. They must travel to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple. And when they came to worship, they were not supposed to come empty-handed. They should come with a basket full. They will come offering sacrifices. And you know, if you try to lead an ox, a goat, a sheep, all the way traveling hundreds, thousands of miles to come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice, it was rather inconvenient. So for the sake of convenience, for expediency's sake, they said, now you don't need to do that. You can just bring the money in. And we will provide the sheep and goats and ox and doves that had been koshered. And you just buy them. Now, isn't that convenient? And not only that, because people came from all corners of the world. They have different currencies. And in the temple, there is a temple currency. So you have to change your money. Now, don't worry. We have money changers right here at the temple. So you can change the money. Now, how convenient it is. But no, you know, behind that, the priests try to make a big profit, and so are the merchants. So it became a place of merchandise. But this went on year after year, month after month, day after day, and nobody bothered anything. Everybody took it as stride, believing that this is the right thing to do. What else can you do? But not for our Lord Jesus. When he came into the temple and he saw all the things that were going on, the Bible said, the zeal of thy house devours me. A fire burning in his heart. How can you make my father's house a house of merchandise? What sacrilege. So our Lord did something that was most unusual to him, because he was meek and lowly. He came into this world to be the Lamb of God, sacrifice for the sin of the world. And yet at that time you'll find he made a scourge of ropes. He drove out the money changers, the sellers of oxen, sheep, and goats. He overturned the table of the money changers. He drove out all these animals, and he told those that sold doves, took these doves away. You make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, even though our Lord Jesus knew very well that this temple was just a representation, it was not a real thing, because He is the real temple of God. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among men, full of grace and truth. It was not the temple in Jerusalem. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. He is the real temple, God with man, Emmanuel. And yet this temple was a representation. And our Lord Jesus just couldn't allow such thing to happen. You know, when He did these things, He knew very well He was against all the hierarchy of the religious world, the Judaism. He was against Judaism, the religious system. He was against everything. He knew what He was doing. But the zeal of His Father's house devoured Him, swallowed Him. Brothers and sisters, you remember it is prophesied in Psalm 40, 6 to 8. It is said, sacrifice and oblation thou dost not desire. Burn offering and sin offering thou hast not required. But it is recorded in the Word of the volume, lo, I come to do thy will. Thy law is written upon my heart. Dear brothers and sisters, is not our Lord Jesus a sacrifice? Surely He is. Is it an oblation, a meal offering? Yes. His whole life is a meal offering to God. Pure, perfect. Is he not a burnt offering unto God? Yes. He offered himself completely to God, acceptable by God his Father. Is he not a burnt offering? Sure. Is he not a sin offering? Yes. Because he is the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world. He is all these things. But, he said, this is not really what God wants. What God really desires is a man who does his will. The reason why our Lord Jesus came into this world is more than just to be a sacrifice, an oblation, more than just be a sin offering and a burnt offering. Yes, he was all of these things, but behind the spirit behind what he was, what he did, is the Father's business. The zeal of my Father's house devours him. Brothers and sisters, there is a thing called zeal. We know it. Even in this world, in the natural world, there is such a thing as zeal. Some people are zealous for a cause. And because they are so zealous for that cause, they are even willing to sacrifice themselves. Some people are zealous for money. And for money's sake, they are willing even to die for it. And I have seen people doing it. Oh, there are people who are zealous for love. Because they love certain people. They are willing to do anything, sacrifice everything, in order to have that person. Yes. There is such a thing as zeal in this world. But these are strange fires. These are fires that burn in the flesh. But so far as our Lord Jesus is concerned, it is a different fire. Yes, there is a zeal. It is a zeal for the Father's house. It is a zeal for the Father's business. It is a zeal for the Father's will. And that zeal devours him. That zeal swallows him up. That zeal makes him as if he forgot himself completely. You know, there are two kinds of fires in the scripture. One is the strange fire. That is the fire of this world. The fire that comes from the flesh. And it is all for ourselves, eventually. But there is a zeal. There's a fire that comes down from above. And that's the fire that God is pleased with. And this is the fire that's burning in the boom of our Lord Jesus. You remember in Luke chapter 12 he said, I have a fire within me. I come to cast a fire into this world. And if it has already taken up and kindled, may it be so. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is a fire burning in the hearts of our Lord Jesus concerning his Father's house. And it is for this reason you'll find he did the thing that he did. You know, you go back to John chapter 2. Thousands, tens of thousands of people going in and out of the temple, and nobody seemed to notice anything wrong. Everybody just took it as usual. Not until our Lord Jesus came. And he just couldn't stand it. It is not a matter of convenience. It is not a matter of expediency. It is not a matter of profits. It is a matter of worship. When he did it, he was challenged by the Jews. By what authority did you do that? Why do you do it? On what basis? Are you doing it? And our Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. Oh, they say this temple was being enlarged for 46 years. And you say you can rebuild it in 3 days? They did not know that our Lord was referring to his own body. You may destroy this body of mine, but in 3 days, I will raise it up. His disciples remember what he said after he was raised from the dead. But did our Lord Jesus succeed in cleansing the temple? No. After the cleansing, it was defiled right away. And during his 3 years of public ministry, things didn't change a bit. Not only it didn't change, it got worse. And that is always the case. When anything is done disregarding the Spirit and the Word of God, and do it out of convenience, out of expediency, out of profit, it always degenerates more and more. So it was the end of the ministry of our Lord Jesus. During his last entry into Jerusalem, before his crucifixion, he went into the temple and he cleanses once again. Gave it another change. And you know what he said? This is the house of prayer for all nations. And you made it a den of robbers. He was quoting Jeremiah chapter 7. Because in Jeremiah chapter 7, you find the children of Israel at that time still had the temple of Solomon there. And they still went to the temple to worship. But their moral condition, spiritual condition, were such. They shed blood, they rob, they steal, they commit adultery. They worship idols. And then they came to the temple. And they said, Jehovah's temple. Jehovah's temple. We have the temple of Jehovah. So in other words, after they have committed all these grievous sins, they came to the temple and said, now we are covered. We are okay. I remember when I was in the Philippines, there was a cathedral called the Cathedral of Black Jesus. And that was the cathedral when those robbers, after they have robbed, they will go to that cathedral and say a prayer. And they say, everything is covered. And that's what they were doing. So the prophet said, amend your ways. What God demanded is that you honor God. Honor man. Not to make the temple a cover for your continuing in sin and transgressions. And our Lord Jesus quoted Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. This is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of robbers. how people today make religion as a cover for their sins. But thank God. What our Lord Jesus was cleansing the temple, the blind, the lame, came to him and were healed. And the children began to sing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Salvation, blessed be to the Son of David. Oh, you know what happened? The priests, they were indignant. They told the Lord, tell these children to shut up. And our Lord Jesus said, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected thy praise. Oh, brothers and sisters, then the Lord left Jerusalem and went to Bethany. Isn't that a picture? Brothers and sisters, are we a people who are mocked by the zeal of God's house? Do we not understand that after we believe in the Lord Jesus, the first real Christian experience is consecration? Have you not consecrated yourself to the Lord? It is almost like Bar Mitzvah among the Jewish people. You are being made a son of grace, not a son of law. When you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual worship. Have you done that? If you have never done that, you haven't begun the Christian walk. No matter whether you're saved for 10 years or 20 years, you haven't started to walk as a Christian. But thank God, by the grace of God, as we are constrained by the love of Christ, we do give ourselves to the Lord. Now, what does it mean? When you present your bodies a living sacrifice, when you consecrate yourselves to the Lord, what does it mean? Does it not mean that from now on, you are to be occupied with the Father's business? No longer occupied with your own business. Even doing your own business is a avocation. Not a vocation. Your vocation is to be occupied with your Father's business. And what is your Father's business? Your Father's business is what he wants to do. What he wants to have. He wants a house. He wants to dwell among people in unity, in harmony, in peace, in love. And we are his house. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In other words, the temple in Jerusalem is but a representation. And because of his misrepresentation, God allowed it to be destroyed. But in its being destroyed, we find the reality of God's house is being brought in. They destroyed the body of our Lord Jesus. But out of that body that was broken on the cross, came out the church, the house of God. He is the rock. And he said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And the same zeal that devours him should be the zeal that swallows. The world will say you are radicals. But to be a Christian is to be radical, special, peculiar people of God. We do not live for ourselves any longer. We live for God. We live for him. We live for his will. We live for his house. May the same zeal swallow us up. Dear brothers and sisters, is it time that we shall wake up? Do not be like the thousands and thousands of the Jewish people who frequented the temple and saw nothing wrong. As I was meditating on these words, a hymn came to my heart. It was a hymn written by Charles Wesley. He wrote it long, long ago. But the spirit of that hymn is everlasting. And I would like, brothers and sisters, that we will sing this hymn together. It may be new to some of you, but actually it's an old hymn. I will read the words, and when we sing, I hope we'll sing, not only with our voice, but with our heart. Jesus, thou all victorious love, shed in my soul abroad. Then shall my heart no longer roam, rooted and fixed in God. Oh, that in me the sacred fire might now begin to glow. burn up the dross of base desire and make the mountain flow. Thou who at Pentecost didst fall, do thou my sins consume. Come, Holy Ghost, for thee I call, Spirit of burning, come. Refining fire, go through my heart. Illuminate my soul. Scatter thy life through every part and satisfy the whole. My steadfast soul from falling free shall then no longer move. While Christ is all the world to me and all my heart is love. May we see.